The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's so great to have everybody here on a Monday night. I love church. Especially the aspect of us gathering together to celebrate the mysteries of our faith. And today, All Saints Day wasn't a universal feast for 2 millennia, right? It's kind of new. What happened is the calendar got really full. If you have a butler's Lives of the Saints, there's 2, 3, 5, 7, 14 saints for every day of the year. And so we needed some time to wear green, ordinary time. And so the church said, okay, all of those saints, 1st of November, the month of November being where we remember our beloved dead. So the start off of the month of November, we're going to remember all the saints that have gone before us. And so I'm talking about this, and talking about this, and hopefully preaching a message, you know, to the kids at school when I was helping out in Oregon. And I said, "Who here wants to be a saint?" Everybody's hand except one. You know, if it had been half and half, I would have been okay. Well, you know, we need to talk some more about it. But I clearly missed with the little boy in the back. And I said, "Why don't you want to be a saint?" And he says, "Because they're all dead." And I'm like, "He's on to me." They are all dead. Right? All the saints he knew, and everything I was talking about was canonized saints. Saints that have a feast day. Saints who at least we know maybe 2 sentences out of their whole life have been remembered. Right? They grew up, they were holy, and they died. Blessed be the Lord. Right? That's some of the saints, that's all we know. Some other saints, we have all of their writings. Can you imagine when John Paul II is declared a saint? They're like tombs, if you want to read his life. It's like, okay, go get a wheelbarrow and load all the books. Well, probably just all be in your preloaded in your iPhone, right? John Paul II app, there actually is 2, not just 1. And so, what does it mean to be a canonized saint? And then what is Paul talking about when he writes a letter to all the saints in Corinth, or all the saints in Philippi, or all the saints in Thessalonica? Right? Those people, he's not writing letters to dead people. So there must clearly be a difference. Saint, santa, sanctus, is just the word holy. The holy ones. Right? The holy ones in Corinth. Right? And then he says, "How foolish," the Galatians especially, "have you been to clearly listen to these people coming after me saying you need to be circumcised to be saved. Salvation is through Christ alone. What were you thinking?" Right? So the clearly saints don't have to be perfect because they had totally gotten it wrong. and Paul was reading him the riot act. But he still started the letter by saying, yeah, you holy ones, you saints, you beloved of God. That's us. That's us. We're all called to be saints, beloved of God. And you know what? We don't have to do anything to gain it. We were born beloved of God. We were conceived beloved of God. We die beloved of God. God just loves us. It's in God's very nature. God couldn't imagine not loving you. Right? There isn't an ever time like, oh, geez, such a burden to love Thomas today. Right? You can just see God exasperated as I'm off on my sinful errand. No, God's like, Thomas, Thomas, I love you. You don't need to do that. Right? If we really start to listen to the scriptures, I think we'd fall over. The Beatitudes. How many of us memorized the Beatitudes when we were kids? We certainly have sung a lot of them. They're very popular to sing. How many of us have done that? Like, lived the Beatitudes. Put our hands down. Well, some of our canonized saints, they've lived out the Beatitudes. And some of our grandparents or parents or uncles or siblings, coaches and teachers, neighbors, they've lived out the Beatitudes. Right? Saints are all around us. I remember reading in Dorothy Day's autobiography how frustrated she was that people were, towards the end of her life, calling her a saint. She says, don't do that. I want to be taken seriously. Her point was that sometimes, oh, the saints can do that, and we put them in a different category than ourselves. Oh, sure, Saint Dorothy Day can do that and love the poor and live in poverty with them after her conversion. But I can't do that, so let Dorothy Day do that, and I'll be over here. She said, stop, I'm not a saint. I was our retreat director at the seminary for one January retreat was the confessor for Mother Teresa. And he was in the States doing retreats, and it was amazing. And he said every time he heard Mother Teresa's confession, which was about every other day, she had another confessor she went on the other days, she would peek from behind the curtain and say, see, I'm not a saint. And then stomp out. How cute. Being 4'4", probably all 4'4", barely, all curled up towards the end of her life. Right? The people who are living those lives of holiness, if you read their writings, it sounds like they're having an awful time. Right? They don't see the beatific vision. They're not filled with the glory of God. They're struggling to follow Christ. Well, then, maybe we're right along with them, right? Struggling to follow Christ in our everyday lives, right? I mean, how many grandparents do you know who are raising their grandchildren, right? There's a process of canonization right there, right? I think the raising of children changes us. We become more human because we have to set ourselves aside and live for another. Remember this mother of twins who says, I'm just a milk machine. And they're both hungry at the same time. And I said, how Eucharistic? And she said, what? And I said, look, this is my body given up for you. Take and eat. That's what you were doing when you were feeding your children. When you're waiting up for them. When you're visiting them in prison. When you're rejoicing with them at their wedding. This is my body given up for you. The saints witnessed that there was another way of living in the world. Living for another. Instead of living for themselves. Anytime we live for ourselves, God has a really hard time getting through to us because we're all caught up on ourselves, right? I'm so marvelous. I'm so fantastic. I need this stuff. It'll make me feel better. And at the end of the day, right, we want to commit suicide because all of it was empty. But if we live for another, if we're trying, as Jesus did, to give ourselves away, well, then the Beatitudes make sense. Right? The saints are those who long to see the face of God when they look in the mirror instead of their own.